And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to Radio Free Asgard, episode number 142. My name is Tom Harris, and we're coming at you from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. And speaking of Chicago, the show is brought to you by the fine folks over at the Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo, C2E2, which runs April 24th through the 27th at McCormick Place in beautiful downtown Chicago. And I do hope that you stop by. And if you are there, come to Podcast Alley. We are at Table D4. Come say hello to us and some other podcasters apparently as well. I'm not sure who all is going to be there. I guess we'll find out on the 24th. I'm getting kind of excited about the convention. I have to say, you know, we don't go to a lot of conventions, but C2E2 is one that we go to every year. And there's a lot of interesting guests. I just found out that Scott Collins is going to be there, so that ought to be interesting. That's a Thor-related person. We've talked about him a lot on this show. And also, of course, we're going to have Dan Juergens and some other folks, including Stan the Man Lee. So I'm hopefully going to be able to talk to at least some of those people. Anyway, so we are going to be continuing on this issue of Thor, which is kind of bringing us to the end of this little chunk of the Stan Lee, Jack Kirby era. And of course, starting next week, we are going to move on to something a little bit different for a couple of weeks. And then we're going to continue on with Thor, God of Thunder, by popular demand. Yes, I posted a question over at the Radio Free Asgard Facebook group. And the two eras that people seem to be really interested in rediscovering, of course, catching up with Thor, God of Thunder. And then we are going to be looking at something else. It'll be a surprise to be announced at a later time. All right, so without any further ado, let's move ahead with our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
Indeed, and this week we are looking at Thor number 170. Has a cover date of November 1969, retailed for 15 cents. Cover art is by John Romita and inked by John Verporten. Not exactly a name you would think of when you think about art. John Verporten, of course, was Marvel's production manager for a while in the early to mid-70s. I believe he died about 1978. And I don't really see a lot of examples of him inking or drawing anything, so it's kind of interesting. Cover art shows Thor in epic battle against none other than the Thermal Man. And the Thermal Man is blasting some sort of pink rays out of his fingers. Thor's thwacking it with his hammer. And it's all very dynamic and very much derivative of Jack Kirby. We open up to the splash page and this is a pretty scary splash page here. Very, very stylized reaction shot here of Thor in a style very not typical of Kirby during this era. And we have the credits here. Stan Lee and Jack Kirby produced this issue. Bill Everett was the embellisher, and lettering was by Artie Simek. Yeah, this is really kind of heralding a change in Kirby's style, and really a good indicator that Kirby's trying some new stuff art-wise. He's trying different directions to go. And this is sort of a big step in the direction of what he came to in a couple of years from now when he moved over to DC. But yeah, it's a shot of Thor looking pretty frightening, actually. And Thor has arrived back on Earth, sent here by Odin at the end of last issue. What monstrous madness is this? I have returned to Earth only to find its greatest city hath been evacuated. Tis as though some dreaded menace doth now attack New York. And if he were to look behind him, he would see that there's buildings on fire and stuff. But, of course, he's Thor. Anyway, and we go to the next page, and we see that Kirby, even though he's drawing New York, can't resist throwing a little bit of futuristic architecture here in the city. It's not too obvious, but it certainly doesn't look anything like a real building. Thor finally sees the fires taking place, says, "Beyond yon spires, I behold a smoldering blaze. Tis there, methinks, the danger lies. And where danger threatens, there must go the God of Thunder. There must Thor be found." And he flies off towards the fire, and he sees the Thermal Man, who's apparently the cause of all this. "In the midst of the carnage, a figure stands, more than twice the size of a mortal man." And he's going to go attack the Thermal Man, and he hears a voice, "Thunder God, halt! Do not attack!" And he realizes, of course, that his friend Baldur, and he says, "The voice of Baldur calls," and he stops his attack, flies down to where the Warriors 3 and Baldur are kind of licking their wounds from last issue. And Thor's landing here, and he says, "Warriors of Asgard, thou hast guarded Earth while Thor was gone. For this I give thee thanks. But what new menace stalks the land?" "He is the Thermal Man," says Hogan, "an artificial being powered by an earthly atomic pile." "Not even our Asgardian strength could make him fall," says Fandral.
"If Volstagg cannot stop him, then he is truly unstoppable."
"The only power which exceeds our own is the power of the atom," says Baldur, which I don't agree with. "Never have we faced a foe such as that." Yeah, you could say that again.
"But what is his purpose?" says Thor. "What is his plan?" "He was sent to attack and weaken the free world."
"But not even those who created him dreamed his power would increase with every passing second," says Baldur.
"He turns," says Thor. "He senses danger from a different source."
And the Thermal Man is turned, apparently, and is moving off in a different direction. And we see what the danger is. It's soldiers, and they're shooting bazookas and rifles and cannons, and they've got tanks firing at him. And it's all pretty much having no effect. And soldiers like, "There he is. Let him have it. Our orders are to stop him at any cost. Disperse, here come the tanks!" And they don't do any good. I like how the tanks, and they're firing their shells at him, and the fire coming out of the nozzles of the tanks is red, white, and blue. Very patriotic.
"It's no use. He's still standing. If those shells can't stop him, what can?"
"Take cover! His eyes are beginning to glow! It means he's about to unleash a thermal blast!"
And the Thermal Man's eyes glow, and he releases a thermal blast, which is starting to turn the road into lava, and there's like a big mountain of lava here in the middle of the street.
"Move it, you guys. The ground's getting hot. Starting to turn into lava."
"He even managed to melt the tanks. Watch it. Look out for the shock blasts."
And the shock blasts are kind of blowing up what hasn't melted. So you see street signs and jeeps and people being thrown around by the explosions.
"It's hopeless. There's nothing in our arsenal can stop him."
And Thor is stepping in. He says, "The mortals are helpless. Thus 'tis for us to act."
"Son of Odin, we follow where thou wilt lead."
"Then, warriors, onward!" And some of the stuff here is very familiar as far as Kirby layouts, and it looks just like the, you know, Kirby at his height. And some of it looks odd. A lot of the poses and so forth, they don't really look like anything we've seen before from Kirby's pencils. You know he's kind of playing with the layout a little bit. He's playing with a little bit with composition. We have kind of this calm around the edge of the page, and then right in the middle we have this big explosion. It's a very dynamic layout, but it's not really like anything we've seen from Kirby before, so it's interesting. Then we get a full page splash here of the Warriors 3 and Thor leaping into battle. I like how Volstagg is kind of lumbering in the background and is just like, kind of like a shadow, but we see everybody else.
"What evil tremble! What foes beware! We strike for Earth and the realm eternal!"
And they all go leaping forward. Again, we have a little bit of a different take here on the Warriors 3 from what we've seen before. It's almost as though Kirby was really, really sketchy. And that wouldn't surprise me. At this point, Kirby was becoming less and less satisfied with his deal at Marvel. And I can only imagine there's maybe overworked and so forth. He's doing a little bit less detail than normal. And Bill Everett, as much as I like him, you know, I'm not sure he's the best inker for Kirby. And of course, we'll talk about that at the end. Thor hurls his hammer at the Thermal Man with a spang. And Mjolnir kind of knocks the thermal man over. Mjolnir hath made him lose his footing, says Thor. And now I say, yield or die! And he goes to strike thermal man kind of straight in the head. Thermal man takes his hand, smashes Thor to the ground, and is holding him there.
None may slay the thermal man.
His strength is as great as thou didst say, says Thor. From whence hath he come, Grimhogan?
In the distant Orient, those who are democracy's foes have created him. But not even they didst bargain for power such as his.
So looks like Hogan's going to attack the thermal man with his mace, but thermal man shoots an I-beam out, smashes Hogan right in the face, and knocks him over.
Now at Hogan strike, before his eye can. Ugh! Too late. None can face the onslaught of his thermal eye.
Now we've got, so far in this issue, pretty much all Jack Kirby dialogue. This is very New Godsy. With each passing moment, I do perceive new power, new danger which confronts us all. Thunder gods, stand fast. Fandral shall strike. I, whose blade is fastest in the realm, shall use my speed and daring do to dodge his blasts and make my thrust. And the Fandral leaps forward, and he's hacking at the thermal man with his sword. Does a big Errol Flynn kind of flip in the air. And he's like, he strikes, but Fandral moves the faster. Now shalt thou taste my naked steel? And he thrusts his sword into the head of the thermal man, but instead of going into his head, it just breaks. He says,
odds blood! What manner of being do we fight? My blade is shattered like a toy. And Fandral, too, is likewise hurled away.
And Fandral goes flying off. We see Fandral has landed, and Thor is kind of going to move forward to attack the thermal man. We see Volstagg is kind of dragging Fandral back so he doesn't get hurt.
We need a plan, Asgardians. Our force alone will not this time prevail. But hold, I hear a roar from high above.
'Tis the sound of a speeding aircraft, says Baldur.
And indeed, we see that's a U.S. Air Force jet with some sort of fancy missiles on it. And it's kind of flying up this river. What, I don't know, the Hudson River? Is it? Is the Hudson River like perfectly straight and has city on either side? I honestly don't know. We see some more futuristic buildings here incidentally, which doesn't look very New York-like. And the pilot of the plane is saying,
the thermal man is just below. If the missile we're carrying won't stop him, it's bye-bye, Charlie.
How come the birds behind the bamboo curtain shipped this rocket over to us?
Use your head, man. They never expected him to be so powerful. If we can't stop him, what'll happen if he ever turns on them?
If we can team up for something like this, why can't we cooperate on things like a lasting peace? Why do the Reds and us always have to be enemies?
Yeah, this guy's a commie sympathizer.
All right, Joe Letter. There he is. Missile away!
What'll happen to the city when she hits?
Now he thinks of that. After they've already launched the missile, we see the missiles kind of hurtling towards the thermal man.
Nothing. It works on the principle of implosion. It'll explode inwardly, only affecting its single target.
Behind me all, says Thor, mighty Mjolnir shall give us shelter.
The humans have loosed an airborne missile, says Baldur, and the
thermal man gets hit by this thermal missile. You see, got a big red Kirby crackle all over the place and an energy cascading around, and the thermal man falls face forward on the ground.
Squarely it doth strike its target. He sways, he falls. The deed seems done.
Hath he been destroyed? Asks Baldur.
Since he hath truly never lived, how shall we know if he be dead? Says Thor.
'Twere best we here stand guard, for if he should awaken...
Thou speakest wisdom, loyal Baldur. But hold, a cry for help assails mine ears.
And Thor looks around, and he sees a soldier is trapped in the wreckage of a building. It got apparently knocked down by a thermal man.
But all stand fast. Thor shall return. If there be danger new, I must speed to it forthwith.
And he finds the guy trapped in the wreckage, like a serviceman in mortal pain.
He hath been gravely injured. 'Tis not Thor's strength now that is wanted, but the skill of Dr. Blake.
And he bangs his hammer on the ground, and he changes back into Dr. Blake. Now, what's interesting is that this soldier is trapped under a bunch of wreckage, like fallen timbers and stuff from the building, and he changes back into lame Dr. Blake, and then he has to lift the wreckage off of the soldier. Why couldn't Thor have done that? It would have been a lot easier for Thor. Easy, soldier. I'll get you back to the nearest medical field station as fast as possible. You know, they're in the city. There are, like, clinics and hospitals and stuff. And Blake picks up the soldier and is carrying him away without using his cane, mind you. This lame doctor carrying the soldier. His pulse still feels strong, thinks Blake. With luck, I'll be able to save him. And then I'll return to the Thermal Man. And we return to the scene where Thermal Man is laying face down on the ground and the Warriors Three kind of nursing their wounds here.
Thou art lucky to have fallen here. Thou couldst feel the might of Volstagg. With but one sure thrust, my blade would run thee through.
Voluminous one, says Fandral, where was thy blade when it was needed most?
What? Thinkest thou I cannot answer? I did but await the proper moment, lest thou accuse me of winning the victory single-handed. But ever did I know that my strength could crush yon cowardly monster, for only my courage doth exceed my power.
And as he's speaking, the Thermal Man is beginning to stir, and he's beginning to get up. And we see he's kind of rising behind Volstagg here.
The news one or the other, warrior, for our foe once again rises, says Baldur.
Then charge us, guardians! I have wearied myself with talking, says Volstagg, and he wheels about.
And we shift scenes at this point, and we are back in the realm of the Norn Queen, and the Norn Queen and Loki, as we left them last issue, are peering down into Carnilla's cosmic voyeuroscope, and we see Baldur and the Warriors Three, and Carnilla's like,
they possess not the power to slay the Thermal Man. Then let them fall, says Loki, for they be not friends to me or thee. And with them gone, our enemies shall be fewer. Queen of Enchantment, why dost thou look so wistful? Though Baldur doth not return, my love, I cannot let him perish. Carnilla, stop! Not even for thee, Prince of Evil!
And Carnilla's beginning to cast some sort of a spell, and she looks very Endora-like here in this issue, and almost Morticia Adams sort of dress, but she's got definitely sort of Agnes Moorehead sort of look about her. She seems to kind of go back and forth between not very pretty and being pretty under Kirby's pencils, and of course she kind of goes to permanently on the pretty side a little bit later.
One mystic spell cast into the waters of my gleaming pool, and the deed is done,
and she fires a blast of magic into the pool.
Art thou mad, says Loki? Thou wouldst save those who are pledged to destroy thee. I am Carnilla, Queen of the Norns, Enchantress Supreme, but I am a woman first, a woman who saves the one she loves.
And we can see that she's actually teleported the Warriors Three and Baldur to her palace, and she reaches down and touches Baldur's head, and Loki is not happy by this at all.
You have brought them here, against my wishes. No longer canst thou be Loki's ally. Then to thee, my prince, I say begone. Female, thou wilt rue this day. The memory of Loki is longer than time. Sooner or later thou shalt return, says Endora,
the Norn Queen.
Our lives are linked in bonds of evil.
And we then shift scenes and we're back on Earth and Don Blake is here in this medical facility, sort of military thing. And he's treating the injured soldiers. Now, I don't get what's going on here because the soldiers are being treated medically here. And you got one guy smoking in the background, which has got to seriously be bad for things like, you know, keeping things sterile. And all the people still have all their gear and their helmets and stuff on while they're being treated medically, which makes absolutely no sense. I guess this does so we know that they're soldiers, I guess.
You'll be all right now, soldier, says Blake. Yeah, thanks to you, Doc. It was lucky you found me when you did. If you were near the area near the Thermal Man, you must lead a charmed life, Blake. Nobody was safe while that character was storming around.
At any rate, he's finished now, says Blake.
Looks like you're wrong, Doc. We just got a report. The monster's alive again.
No, if he survived that missile, we've got nothing less to stop him.
And Blake goes hurrying off, limping along with his cane, and the soldier's like,
Dr. Blake, hold on, come back. There's nothing you can do.
Never mind me. Just clear the area, soldier.
And Blake goes into an alleyway and bangs his cane on the ground, changes into the mighty Thor. And he's saying,
Donald Blake can't hope to reach him soon enough. but the God of Thunder can. And he goes flying off, whirling his hammer around. Seeing some interesting effects here that we haven't seen before from Kirby. Again, you know, this is definitely presaging some of his later work in the next couple of years. Never hath the challenge been more deadly, never the threat more grave. And Thor goes flying off to the Thermal Man, and Thermal Man standing here knocking buildings down and stuff. Never a foe more merciless, but I must prevail or perish in the trying. And the Thermal Man sees Thor coming and his head whirls around. I guess he's a robot, he can do that. This time you shall not escape my thermal blasts. And he turns around, blasts at Thor, and he misses, just smashes a building, building's collapsing, and Thor is being struck by wreckage and stuff. Does not escape I seek, but victory complete. There can be no victory over one who is invincible, says the Thermal Man. I do not truly live, so I can never truly die. Then I must find another way, says Thor. And he's leading the Thermal Man to the river, and they're on these docks. And, of course, I love how the docks in New York City, they're not modern or anything. They're these old wooden pilings, and they're all falling apart. It's like something out of a pirate comic. Mulder and his comrades have vanished. Mayhap to Asgard they have flown to summon aid. But I dare not await their return. What must be done by the son of Odin. Not for naught is Thor the lord of storm and lightning, and he is whirling his hammer around. Not for naught is Thor the god of thunder. And he's summoning a tempest, and he's got, you know, Kirby crackle and storm clouds and rain and, of course, all this stuff. We don't see Thor do that all that much, which is really interesting. But he's creating a tempest here. It says, let the storm clouds gather, let the heavens grow dark. Let the ocean swell and the typhoon roar. Let thine eyes be blinded by the storm, so thou canst not hurl thy thermal blast. So speaks the god of thunder. And he's summoning up like a tidal wave, and it kind of smashes down over the city. It's a big tidal wave. It really has engulfed like skyscrapers in New York City. You would think that this would be mentioned in some other comic during this month. It's like, hey, What happened to the city? Didn't Thor summon a tidal wave and that didn't happen. Since Thor can fly and he cannot, the tidal wave hath engulfed him. Now I command it to subside, for in truth it has served me well, and now half of New York is drowned. It matters not if he live or die, so long as he be gone. The storm shall take him far from men, when there be none to harm. I think he meant to say where there be none to harm. Anyway. It shall take him to the frozen north, and there he shall lie immobile till the very end of time. Just like Captain America. Yeah, what can go wrong there, folks? Yeah, something tells me we're going to be seeing this Thermal Man again eventually. Next issue, The Wrath of the Wrecker. And that is Thor number 170. Now, of course, I do have a few comments to make about the issue, and we will be listening to them after this important message.
The Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, also known as C2E2, is a convention spanning the latest and greatest from the worlds of comics, movies, television, toys, anime, manga, and video games. Bringing the best of popular culture to downtown Chicago on April 25th through 27th, C2E2's show floor is packed with hundreds of exhibitors, panels, guests such as Adam Hughes, Brian Azzarello, Eve Miles, and more, autograph sessions giving fans a chance to interact with their favorite creators, and screening rooms featuring sneak peeks at films and television shows months before they hit either the big or small screen. Join us for the best weekend of the year, April 25th through 27th. For more info, head on over to c2e2.com.
And don't forget, Radio Free Asgard will also be at C2E2. And you know who else is going to be there? We just found out that the cast of Warehouse 13 is going to be there. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that show. It was introduced to me by a member of the audience here, Young Silver, who is a big fan of the show. And I'm enjoying it. I'm kind of right in the beginning of season two. Some good stuff here and some kind of lame stuff too. But anyway, it's definitely a show that's worth checking out, even if not every episode is a winner.
Rather like this show, really, if you think about it. Anyway, so I do have a few things to say about this issue, as always. Though not really too much about this issue. This was a big fight issue. A lot of what happened in this issue was just people fighting each other. And, of course, what can you say about it? I mean, the fights are well done, of course. This isn't Lee and Kirby at their height. In fact, story-wise, I'm kind of hard-pressed to see Stan's involvement at all. This is a Jack Kirby story. This is Jack Kirby set loose on his own, and as a result of that, it doesn't always work. I do see a couple places where it looks like Stan Lee redialogued things a little bit, but if you look at most of the pages, man, this is Kirby straight out of his Fourth World stuff, as far as the style that people speak in, the heavy words, the way that Kirby would draw it when he was writing his scripts into his art. And this is all very distinctive traits of Kirby's solo work, and we see a lot of it here. Artwork, on the other hand, Kirby is trying some new stuff, and not all of it works for me. It's definitely, I'm not going to blame it all on Bill Everett, but I think that Bill Everett as an inker has a definite influence on what we're seeing here. I don't know that Coletta would have actually portrayed things in exactly the same way that Everett did. But I see a lot of changes, particularly in the faces, and particularly character of Fandral. Hogan and Volstagg still look pretty much the same, but Fandral has something funky going on with his mustache. It's like major case of split ends. It's like he's wearing paintbrushes on both sides of his nose. But by and large, the artwork is pretty good, even if it's not up to the greatest of the Lee Kirby era. But we have to keep in mind too, folks, that this is the end of the Lee Kirby era. I think we have fewer than 10 issues left with this team, and then we have, you know, Roy Thomas and John Buscema taking over on the artwork. But we'll see. You know, I mean, this is where the book is going. We're almost at the end. When you think about it, really the end of Silver Age Thor. Now, incidentally, if for those of you keeping track at home, these issues have been reprinted. This issue was reprinted in Marvel Masterworks Thor Volume 8 and in The Essential Thor Volume 4. All right, so with that, it is time to wrap up the show. Another short one, folks, but, you know, it's an all-battle issue. I mean, what is there really to talk about? Anyhow, thanks very much for listening, and don't forget you can email the show. Our email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com, and you can also get a hold of us on Facebook. Just look for Radio Free Asgard there, and you will find us. All right, so with that, it's a good evening, good night, farewell, etc., from Chicago, Illinois, and we'll see you next week here on Radio Free Asgard. Radio Free Asgard is the property of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor, his supporting cast, and the various stories that we feature on the show are copyright Marvel Comics and are presented for review and educational purposes, and we hope you find them entertaining as well. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elvesmith, are copyright Motzvent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll tell your friends, or leave us an iTunes review, or even join our Facebook group. We do love hearing from our listeners. And if you didn't like it, well, oh well, we'll try to do better next time. Once again, thank you very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.